Good morning.
Hey, Seattle.
As always, it's your girls, Jasmine and Shantae.
Welcome to another Thursday morning and another episode of The Way with Jazz and Tay.
We'll be bringing you lots of laughs and class to get you ready for the day and the weekend ahead.
Will it be the way or not the way? Find out and join the conversation.
Hey, you guys, welcome back and good morning to The Way with Jazz and Tay. It's your girl, Jasmine and
Shantae.
How are we doing?
You guys, it has been a crazy week.
Like you wouldn't even believe.
We had the longest week in history.
And I feel like, you know, we prepared for like a less busy week to follow it. And you know what? I'm pretty sure it's just going to get filled up.
Again.
Because that's just how it goes.
That's really how it goes. It's like, oh, I'm free, so let's just book in all this time.
Right.
Oh, you want to meet? Come
sure.
on, I've got time today.
Right. And every day.
But, yeah, we've had a really busy week. We went to a really cool show last night, which we'll talk about during our review of the week. We've also, you know, recorded our episode on Thursday. What else did we do?
I ate something really good the other night. Oh, our friend Kathy.
Yeah, Kathy.
She came through and we hung out with our friend Saba as well. And we kind of had like a little girls night dinner and we watched the Aaron Hernandez documentary.
Which is our hot topic.
Yes. So that's an important piece of information here.
Yes.
But Kathy came through with this like spicy Cajun chicken pasta thing. And ooh, it was so, so good. Yes, it was really nice and spicy. I love spice personally, and like it was a little hot for me at times.
And I actually don't like spice, and I thought it was just right.
Yeah,
it was like yum yum.
It was so, so good. But other than that, the week was pretty chill. I don't think we got much. I haven't got much sleep this week.
Yeah, I haven't either. I've been kind of battling like an allergy attack, I think. I'm not quite sure. It felt like a sinus infection. It felt like an allergy attack. But all I know is I couldn't breathe through my nose. And I had a lot of pressure in my head. I feel so much better, though.
Yeah, I'm glad. I felt bad because I can personally relate. And I know what it's the feeling to like need a tissue and then to not have one.
Right.
It's not the way.
Like, I felt like a Puffs commercial. I keep saying that. Like, I feel like, I felt like, you know, the noses that are running away on the cartoon spaces. That was mine. My nose was like, I've had enough. You can't wipe it anymore. It's raw. I was like. But yeah, so that was our week, as always.
Let's see. We're going to jump into
an icebreaker.
Which, this week is going to be a little two-parter kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
One is going to be more traditional, like a little game that we play. The game's going to be called Categories, which I will dive into in just a second. And then second part is Shantae and I are going to take a second and tell you guys a little bit about us. For those of you who are new or for those of you who don't know us from our previous podcast, we just realized that we haven't really taken a moment to do that.
How did we get four episodes deep with you guys and you guys don't even know who we are?
Right. What even is that? But first, let's do categories, okay? So,
yay.
Was that a sarcastic game?
Yes, because it's another King's Cup-like game, and I'm like,
true. Okay, so with categories, similar to questions, you are limited to a response that is within that category. So, really simple one is going to be like, you know, colors, you know, blue, green, pink, purple. And you obviously cannot repeat the same thing. And if you take too long to respond, you're going to be not a loser, but like you lose the round. that was coming out kind of hard. but yes, so let's jump in. First, I'm going to start with shoe brands.
I hate it. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to start then. Adidas.
Nike.
K-Swiss.
FUBU. Is that a shoe?
Does FUBU? I don't know if they have them anymore. I think maybe at one time. We'll just keep going. Fat Farm.
Timberland.
Lugs.
Uggs.
Ooh. K-Swiss. I should have to do that.
I win.
You threw me off.
I'm going to say, yeah, I threw myself off with the FUBU.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's it.
And that's clothing brand for sure.
I kind of meant to say Fat Farm.
I really want to look up and see if like FUBU has shoes now, because I want to know what those ever looked like. Oh, what are other good like shoe Skechers?
Oh, I don't wear
New
Skechers.
Balance.
I don't wear New Balance either.
Fila.
Brooks. They are
Brooks.
From
and those
Seattle.
Are expensive too. If you got a pair of Brooks, you out here. Just looking it up on the internet right now, I don't see FUBU. Oh, I don't know. They might be kind of old too, but they are giving me Fila vibes.
I'll take it.
Next category. Are you ready?
No.
It's going to be cars.
I don't like it either.
Okay, Ferrari.
Mitsubishi.
Maserati.
Hyundai.
Toyota.
Rolls Royce.
Ford.
Cadillac.
Bentley.
Nissan.
Mitsubishi.
I said Mitsubishi.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You
That's
did?
The first thing I no. said. And I don't know why. Like, I was trying to think, what's my car the whole time? And I still can't.
What is your car?
A Chevrolet.
There you go. I drive a Toyota. That's why I went to that. Oh,
That's
my God.
So funny.
And here's the thing. Now that I'm thinking about it, we, like, could have probably just been mentioning, like, different types of, like, the same car. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Toyota, Prius, Corolla, Camry. Oh, that was a fun one.
Yeah. So now,
let's do, how many facts or so do we want to give about ourselves?
Let's do 5 each.
That sounds good. A cool 5. That's even 10.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Let's start with, you start.
Yeah. So as you guys know by now, my name is Shantae Young. A little bit about myself. I am not a Seattle native. I'm a transplant. So that's fun fact number one. I was actually born in Kentucky and I moved to Washington, my junior year of high school. I'm a Coug. That's fun fact number two.
Ooh.
Three.
Like, I didn't know that. Sorry.
Honestly, everybody should know that at this point.
Yeah, go Cougs.
Go Cougs. Yeah. Just because it's like the only thing I ever say about myself. I'm like, you know, I'm not from here and I'm a Coug. Number three, lived in Florida prior to living in Washington. I have a Florida education. So I'm joking. I was going to say like something really mean about myself. And I'm like, actually, I'm pretty smart. So.
That is true. And here's the thing. You got your best education outside of Florida. So how about that?
Back to number four. I am the oldest.
Oh, yeah. How many?
I have 4 siblings. Amaya, John, JC, Anthony.
Love it. I love that you can name all your siblings.
I don't have as many. And 5, I think I can sing.
Because I can sing.
And that's an inside joke
yes.
of ours.
Both of us actually are singers, professionals. So also an inside joke.
I feel like we shouldn't say that because
right?
all of our like musical friends are going to be like, so when are you hopping on a track?
Yeah, don't blow us up. Let's see. 5 fun facts about me. I am a Leo and a very proud and true Leo. I don't know how to explain it, but like people meet me and I tell them I'm a Leo and they're like, oh yeah, duh.
That makes sense.
Right. I have a lion tattoo actually on my hip related to that. I wouldn't say that I'm like huge into astrology. I have a general understanding of it, but I am trying to actually have a more better understanding of it because I do talk about it a lot and I try to relate it to my life, and I should probably know a little bit more about what I'm talking about. Number 2, I am the baby of, I think total it's 12 kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to name all of them. But
even though she could.
But I love them all. I love you guys all. And my one brother, Zach, has and my sister, has done a couple of like these cut videos with me, and those have been pretty fun. So shouts out to y'all, but shouts out to everybody else too. Number three, I love sloths. Like, it's a really actually unhealthy addiction. It's a problem. It's gotten to the point where, like, I get sloth gifts frequently, and I'm starting to get, like, repeat things. Like, that's how bad it is. How do you have so many sloth paraphernalia that you start getting the same thing? I don't know, but it's me. I am that person. Calendars, my bed, I have pillowcases, numerous pairs of socks, t-shirts. I've got random little figurines in my room, tons of stuffed animals. A couple of them have been torn up by my dog. RIP to them, but I love you, Avery. Those are my sloths. Was that number three or number four?
I'm not sure.
Cool. Number four. I absolutely am obsessed with like nails, nail polish, nail designs. I'm trying to start like a small nail acrylic business. Stay tuned. It's in the works. But I have so much nail polish. It's crazy. And it's one of those things where, along with the sloth things, I get nail polish gifted to me all the time. And it's really fun. And I love that people think of me. And they're like, oh, nail polish. Jasmine would love that. It's really cute and sweet. Let's see. Number five. I am not a big fan of chocolate. Womp womp. Sweets in general, actually. So a general PSA, I love sour candies and gummies. I love lemon flavored things. And I love, prefer flowers, I guess, over candy. So chocolate's a no for me. And a chocolate cake is definitely a big no.
So all you guys out there thinking about getting her something for Valentine's Day.
You see what I did there?
No chocolates.
I definitely, like, literally, that's exactly what I was doing. I'm glad.
Girl, I read your mind. Thank you. We literally live on the same wavelength.
Yeah, I was putting that out there. Tulips actually are my favorite flowers, too. So just a heads up there. So those are my five fun facts.
And knowing that you guys know a little bit more about us, I think I can sleep easier.
Yeah. And, you know, feel free to ask us any other questions. You know, like, I'm very open. You guys can ask me almost anything and I will probably give you an answer.
And we're sure you guys will learn more about us the more that you listen to our podcast and our radio show.
Absolutely. So next, we're going to talk about a review.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do that, we're going to jump into a quick break. Thanks for tuning in to The Way with Jazz and Tay. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Last year, a homeowner in Westchester County, New York, wanted to install solar panels on his roof. But his homeowners association told him solar panels were forbidden. That's when a group of lawyers stepped in. Michael Gerard directs the Sabin Center for Climate Change Law at Columbia University. The center recently launched an initiative that provides free help to people facing legal obstacles to renewable energy projects.
Local opposition has become a significant impediment to building these new facilities.
He says some opponents don't like the way wind and solar projects look, or don't want inconveniences from construction. That can lead to zoning ordinances or policies banning wind and solar. In the case of the homeowner in Westchester County, Gerard's group reviewed the Homeowners Association bylaws and concluded that banning solar panels was not permitted. Gerard says not every case will be a win, but it's important to show that opposition to renewables will not go unchallenged.
A lot of it is making town boards realize that there's going to be somebody arguing on the other side. We want somebody on the other side who is standing up, almost playing the role of the Lorax. I speak for the trees. We speak for the climate, and we need these facilities.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
Hey, Seattle.
Tune in to The Way with Jazz and Tay every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 a.m.
We'll be bringing you lots of laughs and class to get you ready for the day and the weekend ahead.
We have something for everyone, from Song of the Week, where we'll introduce you to local Seattle artists,
to the quirky games that we play for that little pick-me-up to get you through your morning commute. Again, that's The Way with Jazz and Tay every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 a.m.
And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at The Way Jazz and Tay and on Twitter at The Way JT. See you guys on Thursday.
Alternative Talk 1150. We're on your radio at 1150 a.m. We're on your HD radio at 98.9 Channel 3.
So many ways to listen.
We're on the web at 1150kknw.com. Streaming live audio and video as well as MP3 archives of many of our shows.
So many ways to listen.
And now, we're on your smartphone or tablet. Download our free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play and take Alternative Talk 1150 anywhere you go.
So many ways to listen.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Alternative Talk 1150. Talk radio for the body, mind, and soul.
Hey guys, welcome back to The Way with Jazz and Tay. Before the break, we introduced ourselves for the first time to you guys and gave you guys a couple of fun facts, and then we also played a little game and recapped our week. Now we're going to get into our review of the week, and we're actually reviewing the same thing because we went to a really great concert last night at Barboza. If you guys aren't familiar, it's in Capitol Hill. There's a venue called The Runaway, Numos, and Barboza is downstairs. One of our friends that we met at the Emerald City Gala, Tezza Talk, had her very first headlining show there. So we, of course, went out there to show love and support. And it was actually the first time that we've seen her in concert
and perform. We were blown away.
And we were completely blown away. I'll say personally, I didn't know what to expect, but
same.
I knew after meeting her at the gala and just kind of looking at her social that she's definitely alternative and that her music wasn't going to be something that I normally listen to.
Yeah, same.
But the concert's kind of changed me. Like, I'm ready to just immerse myself in her music. I really
yes.
like her.
Oh, my gosh, yes. She's got a really nice sound to her. Like, and She started off singing, and it was kind of like an R&B type feel.
Yeah, she has a really great voice.
Yeah, she can sing.
She can.
She can sing. It was nice how she opened up the show. I wish I could tell you what all of the songs were that she performed, but that song, Parachute.
We love Parachute.
It stood out to me. Oh, and STFD, which we cannot say on the air. But
it's sit the F down.
There we go.
That's what it is.
But like both of those stood out to us, and I really loved how she kind of introduced them, like how she talked about them beforehand.
Told us kind of like what kind of space she was in when she wrote it, or what the mindset was behind the song, and it really kind of helped you to put yourself there.
Yeah, and it kind of set the tone or set the mood for the performance, and it was just I found myself not even subconsciously, you know, not even thinking about it, but just completely, I feel like, immersed into it, you know. I was hypnotized, and I felt like I was somebody who had been, like, you know, riding with her for a minute, you know? Like, I felt like I was like, oh my God, like seeing my baby on stage performing, you know? Like that kind of thing.
She's really great at performing. And I really love that she had dancers and she had a violinist at one point.
A female violinist.
She had a backup singer that was a male. He was male and he was also playing acoustic guitar. And I was just kind of like, the whole set, just the different things that she was doing.
I almost forgot about those dancers. And they came out with the heat, that energy.
I didn't forget about the dancers. It was a part. It was like, there was like a part of the show where I was just staring at the dancers because it was giving me so much life.
Yes, yes.
And actually, the guy who sang backup for her, he actually opened, or he was one of her openers. And I'm not sure how to say his actual name, and if it's how we think it is, we can't say it on air, so we're going to spell it for you, but D-A-Y-M is his artist name, and he had a really cool sound as well.
Like, when we first got in there, the song that he was performing was kind of like a funky kind of was giving me, I would say, Prince vibes, you know, and he was not only up there, like, I would say rapping, but he was singing.
It was like R&B.
Yeah.
But it was also alternative. And like the way he was dressed was very like emo punk, punk rocker.
He had
and
really
like
cool contacts in.
They had contacts in. But then he is singing and it was like,
it was gentle.
It was gentle, R&B, kind of soulful. And I was like, this is just altogether so different.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. And I was like, I'm definitely going to go try and, you know, find his music on Apple Music or stream it somewhere, because I really enjoyed it. It was just different.
Same. That was a very good intro to her set.
To Tezza. And Tezza killed it. So, you know, bravo to her. And I can't wait to have her on our show. We do plan to have her on the show.
Yes.
At
Spoiler
some point.
Alert. Shouts out to you, Tezza. Keep doing your thing. I cannot wait to see where you go, because this was an absolute like killer, I feel like, for the first headliner. So I just know that it's going to be great things from here.
I'm definitely excited to go to more of her concerts.
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, let's go.
And especially when we like start knowing more of her like music.
Right. If she goes to Afropunk again, I'm gonna be the fangirl stan right there. Like,
we won't know how to act.
So that's our review of the week, and absolutely the way.
Absolutely.
But then we're going to get into our hot topic.
And just let you guys know, this is a complete like switch from what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
So like, just get your...
If there's two ways to be, this one's not the way.
Right. Just prepare.
So as you guys all know, Netflix has been putting out a ton of documentaries lately. I'm not quite sure why.
Shouts out to Netflix for the documentaries.
You know, keeping us in our houses and keeping us fat. But they've been putting out a lot of documentaries. And recently, they actually put out the Aaron Hernandez documentary.
Inside, what was that? What's it called? Inside the Mind of a Killer or something like that?
Girl, it's the Aaron Hernandez documentary.
Yeah, that's true. Everyone's gonna know what you're talking about when you say it.
It is a 3-episode series, and each episode is an hour long. And actually, my mom was the one who recommended that we watch it and talk about it, because she was like, it's actually extremely interesting. And she had actually started listening to a podcast that was kind of doing the same thing, but talking about, you know, a little bit different aspects in his life and talking to different people. So we listened to that the weekend that we were coming back from Vancouver, and then directly after that we started watching the docuseries. And I'm gonna be honest, again, I was not really trying to watch this documentary,
similar to like how we weren't trying to watch the
Kevin Hart documentary. It's just kind of something, when it was all happening, I wasn't that tuned into it.
Yeah, I was like, because I watched football, I definitely remember being kind of shocked, because it was like, oh, I definitely know who this player is, you know? But I also wasn't like following it super close. It was just kind of like, oh, okay, well, he was in the NFL. He was accused of murder, and now he's not in the NFL. And that was
that's kind of what it was. And it was, and I think for me too, it was kind of like this media frenzy that kind of it was just kind of, it's always like this when there's a celebrity or usually somebody in the NFL that's, you know, murdered someone.
Yeah.
It just kind of goes crazy and you never know what's fact, what's fiction, and what is actually going on.
And it's better to just tune out.
Exactly. So that's what I did when it was all happening. So when this documentary came out, my mom's like, you should really watch it. I was like, I just never really had any interest in it to begin with. Now, getting into it, every episode is an hour long.
Each hour is full of twists and turns and ups.
Plot twists.
Yeah,
and
just
let's up the storyline to make it more interesting.
And again, I still don't even know what's real and what's not real.
I'm going to be honest. After watching the documentary, I feel as informed as I was prior to watching the documentary.
So what is the truth?
Nobody knows. Still to this day, no, I don't think that anybody truly knows what happened.
And it's unfortunate that he took his life and nobody will know.
Because
right?
of that. Yeah. But I would like to talk about it a little bit more in depth. And if you haven't watched it and you plan to, this would probably be the time for you to tune out.
Spoiler alerts.
However, I do want to get into it. So, you know, generally whenever we watch these documentaries, I get on Twitter or social media and I try to see how people are, you know, responding to it and how they're acting. And one thing that I noticed was that a lot of people were like, dang, he was so fine and he was just so attractive and he could have murdered this. And I'm just kind of like,
kibosh that.
Let's just skirt on all of that.
Trash that.
I just will never understand
the glorification
of a murderer. I don't really care how fine you are. You're putting off those killer vibes even when you are fine. And I'll say that.
They did it with Ted Bundy.
You know, he had all the charm in the world. And that's actually, you know, like he used that as kind of like a way to prey on women. Like he knew he was good looking and he knew he was charming. And I just think that it's like, yeah, like while they're attractive, there are other characteristic traits about them that didn't make them that attractive of a person. And while I can say, yes, physically, Aaron Hernandez was a good looking man, the whole package is a no for me.
It just makes me kind of sick.
Yeah, it
upsets the stomach.
Yeah, it really does. I know we were going back and forth with our friend Saba about it. She's like, oh, but he's so fine. And I'm like, but
that doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't. And also just like listening to the documentary and listening to how he spoke to women and how he, you know, spoke to his fiance while he was in jail.
Yeah.
Okay. Mind you, the man is being accused of murder.
There's a lot of evidence against him.
She's been one of the only people to stay loyal to him, to continue to talk to him, to stand behind him. And we're getting to hear calls, okay?
From jail.
And there are calls from him where he's basically telling her, like she had, the police showed up to her house one day and she was like upset about it. And so they're talking about it. And she's like, you know, my day hasn't been going well because the police just showed up and searched the whole house.
Right.
And he was like, oh, well, at least you have your freedom.
Right.
And
like,
she was like, I wouldn't even be in this mess if it weren't for you. And he's like, oh, you're blaming this on me? Excuse me?
Yeah.
Yes. You're the one murdering people out here for fun. Like, yeah, I would not be in this situation if it weren't for you murdering people.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And just that in general, like there were a couple of conversations like that with him and her, and even conversations that he had with his mom. And it's kind of like our episode with Kevin Hart and accountability.
Yeah, he just
had no sense of like, he absolutely thought he did nothing wrong.
He thought he was for sure going to get off.
He just knew it.
He kept talking about like, you know, well, when I get out, or, you know, like things that they're going to do, you know, like once everything is over. And it's like, sir,
you're not getting out of this.
Sir.
There's just way too much evidence. We're going to get into more of that because he was not smart either
about
any of this. But yeah, just kind of like, Saba kind of posed this question, like, if he had walked up to you and was like hitting on you, would you have been into it? And I was like, I don't know, because
if he talks to women the way that he talked to his mom and the way that he talked to his fiance, the way we heard him talk,
it would be a turn off.
You already know he's arrogant.
Yeah.
You already know that he thinks that, you know, the sun sets and rises on his behind.
Right.
And I've never been into a guy who knows that he's cute.
I'm
going to be honest. Yeah. Because it's just really a turn off. Like, yeah, you're cute, but like, what else do you have going for you? We've got to have a little bit more than that.
It's got to be a connection and conversation.
Exactly.
And with him listening to those conversations, there was no depth.
I was just so put off.
No depth to it at all. And you're right. Very just dismissive. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And just not seeing how any of it was on him.
And not seeing how any of his actions might be. Like, you know, this is the mother of your child. So not only is she going through this, but the baby's probably there as well going through this.
Right, and a newborn.
And you're telling her to just, but at least you're not in jail.
Right, at least you're free. Okay, well, I'd be real, real free if I weren't dealing with you and had a baby with you and, you know, engaged to you also. So there was also a phone call where he blamed his mom for all of it.
Oh, yeah, because, well, his mom, that's a whole nother thing. She was also not the most honest and loyal person.
We can get into that now. So in the documentary, they do a really good job of giving us all these little plot twists or, like, right, side stories, background behind, you know, why Aaron.
To get him to where he, to the point that where he was.
Right.
Like why he
ended
up.
Who was Aaron Hernandez?
Yes.
What built to this? And it was a pretty clear picture painted that his childhood was not conventional by any means.
No.
His dad was physically abusive seemed to be an alcoholic, an angry alcoholic.
Yeah.
And would abuse his mom and would abuse them if he was upset. And, you know, he really ground football into him and into his brother's minds.
At a young age.
And, you know, it was kind of like if you were fooling around while playing football, then you got in trouble. And, you know, anytime I'm around my dad, I have to act right.
Yeah.
Because if not, he knew it'd be trouble once he got home. And I think that that's completely unfortunate.
To have to grow up
around, because you know that he
grew up in fear.
A lot of fear.
A lot of fear.
His dad was extremely homophobic, was something else that we learned. And he kind of hounded Aaron and his brother DJ, you know, on everything that they did, you know, from the way that they held themselves to the way that they talked, laughed, ate. If they did anything that seemed mildly feminine,
it was a problem.
It was a problem, and you know they needed to fix it. And I guess, you know, the F word, I'm not gonna say, I don't like that word, was used frequently in their home. And so that was kind of something ingrained in his brain, like, you know, being gay isn't okay, being feminine isn't okay, I have to be masculine, alpha male at all times, and football, that's, you know, eat, breathe, and live all of that. And even his mother was actually arrested when he was 11 for running like an illegal business out of their home. And
out of their home.
And it was actually like a, you know, like, you know how families have like the inside little, like, oh, you remember that time? Like, that was like an inside joke to them. Like,
yeah,
oh, remember the time the feds busted in the house?
They were laughing about it over the phone.
And, like, and went to jail.
And so that just kind of speaks to their relationship and how, like, I feel like that speaks hugely to why he had the attitude and mindset towards it that he did.
Without a doubt.
Because she was laughing about it with him over the phone, mm-hmm, as if that wasn't extremely illegal and potentially traumatic.
And also just like, what kind of standard are you setting for your child?
Yeah, exactly. Like monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah. And he, you know, once he got older, after his dad passed away when he was 16, he actually moved out and moved in with his cousin Tanya, who they also
had a
very weird relationship.
It hinted at being maybe sexual.
Yeah, like they might have.
And that is not something that, you know, like, you being a young boy, who, what if that was your first sexual encounter? Or, like, you know, I mean, and that's, you're being groomed to, I just can't even think about it.
I didn't let my mind was there, but like they didn't say anything except for they have a weird relationship. So I just was like, I'm just going to leave it at, it's a weird relationship.
Mm-hmm.
but at one point he did move in with her, and she had a very, her house wasn't really the best house for him to be growing up in either. She had a lot of illegal going on in her house, and a lot of shady people that he was, you know, around as well. And actually some of the people that were involved in the murders or were in his little gang during the time he was doing the murdering, were actually people that he met through his aunt. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Twist.
So, you know, just to kind of paint the picture, he did have a very rough upbringing. But again, what I'll say to that is I think that there are a lot of people out there who have a really hard upbringing and who go through really crappy things.
True.
Oprah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to name a bunch of people.
Right.
But she was just the first person to pop in mind.
And it's like, you know, it's not to downplay anybody that has went through anything. And, you know, it's not to downplay that at all. But
never.
A lot of people have gone through stuff like that and not gone on to
murder multiple people and do a bunch of illegal things
and think that they are just invincible.
Exactly. And I think that that's kind of what I've been seeing on social media is people saying, you know, oh, like, I feel so bad for him. And I'm like, I don't know why. I'm like, yes, very obviously we can tell. Just by watching the full documentary through, he had some mental issues.
Oh, absolutely.
He wasn't clicking the way that everybody else was.
He wasn't firing on all cylinders.
I think that he probably had his break or like a mental break when his dad passed. And I think that that really was like the catalyst into like his downward spiral in the darkness. But like also I think that...
Yeah, let's just really quickly talk about how...
You being mentally ill does not make it okay. For you to murder people, and I also think that go ahead.
He was really young when that, like, when his dad passed.
Yeah, he was 16.
And then he was really young. He was like 23 when all of this started unfolding. Just to put into perspective, also like the timeline there and how he got to where he was, and like your brain and things that you deal with and all that, it's still developing at that age. So it definitely makes sense that he would have had like a mental break or gone through something like that and have a really hard time dealing with it throughout those years.
And they said when his dad passed, he didn't cry. He didn't show any emotion. So essentially he sat at his dad's funeral the way he sat during those court hearings.
And that's like a very big sign when you talk about like psychopaths. And
yeah.
And they don't feel
show
they
any
don't,
emotion.
Stuff like that.
Absolutely
just,
none.
Oh well, you
it
know,
did not affect him.
It's another day.
Yeah. And
ooh-hoo.
And I genuinely think that maybe he thinks he didn't do it. Or he thought he didn't do it.
He could tell himself enough that he actually
he either told
it.
Himself enough, or maybe it was like a break and like
oh he like blacked out.
Blacked
or something.
Out, you know, mm-hmm. like maybe that was somebody else to him, but like that was you. But I think that you know everybody's like you know he obviously was mentally ill, and I can feel for that. I think that mental health is important, and it's not taken seriously enough. And what I think is really sad is that you know from like 6 years old, he had been playing football, which is an extremely physical. Sport. And they even talked about this, but he had a CTE, which is, I don't know the full name of it, but is essentially that brain injury from, you know, being in football where, you know, you collide with each other.
You just have consistent contact repeatedly.
Over
at, like,
and
full
over.
Force
and it starts
for
to
years
affect your brain.
And years and years, yeah.
And it can cause Alzheimer's and all types of other things,
Alzheimer's.
You know, down the, sorry, Alzheimer's, all down the line and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm sympathetic to that.
Right.
But I think in a larger picture, what we should be saying is, okay, so we have Aaron Hernandez, this kid who started off so sweet, so kind, was a great football player. But from a very young age, they saw that he kind of was troubled. Like right after his dad died, they were like,
"And where was
it? Wasn't
help?
Good. Where was anybody to help him? They literally just said, keep playing football, guy, and go about your life.
Because they were being selfish.
So what did he do? He continued to play football. He continued to push his body to his limits. He ended up
moving to Florida away from all of his family. So then he alienated himself from anybody he knew. And that's really when all the craziness started for him.
That's where the first murders happened.
And then he gets to Florida, and I don't think that he murdered anybody, but he definitely shot someone when he was in college. And he also busted a bouncer's eardrum at a party because he was underage drinking. And as a football player who was on a full ride scholarship, they covered for him, which I have a problem with in and of itself.
Oh, absolutely.
It happens all the time.
Too many times.
And I think that that was the time for them to stop and get him some help.
Because it's already been a problem at that point. You saw the problem years ago then, and here he is now actually acting out now.
Acting out.
Acting these things out.
He needs help. You can tell he needed help when he got there, and they didn't provide that. Like, here's this boy coming from a troubled home whose dad just passed away, and he's from Connecticut, and then just decided to move to Florida. Out of nowhere. Like, he was supposed to go to UConn and then decided, you know what, I'm going to go to University of Florida. And they were like, come on, you're going to be our star player, but we're not going to do anything to make sure that you do anything right and that you're successful in life. And then, you know, he's drafted 113th in the NFL draft.
Because of this.
Because people saw that he was troubled and they didn't want that problem, but the Patriots picked him up.
You know why, though? Because it's the Patriots.
But here's the thing. If you hear other people saying, I don't really want him on my team because he's trouble, you know what you could have done then?
Get him some help.
And that's just where I think that they missed the buck.
Like, hey, we will give you this opportunity to play in the NFL.
But you've got to do this.
Yeah,
first.
We'll give you this contract. But here's what's written in this contract.
Right.
A, B, C, and D. And if you don't fulfill this, then sayonara.
You know, and Robert Kraft, I think he kind of knew some of the stuff that happened, and he knew about the stuff that had been taken care of in Florida. And I'm like, so now that we're sitting here and we've got like a triple murderer on our hands, and you guys are all trying to sit here and say, oh, we didn't know this was about to happen. How could you have not?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I just don't have any real sympathy there.
Not at all. And then let's talk about the murdering of his friend.
Yeah.
And how his girlfriend or fiance, I don't know if they were married, but he happened to be dating the sister of her.
Yes.
And that was a whole thing within itself, too.
Yes. I don't even know where to begin with that. Essentially, his sister's boyfriend. So what if what would have been his brother-in-law?
And here's what they like alluded to, maybe like that he found out he might have been homosexual or something.
Yes.
And that maybe might have been why he decided to murder this man, because again, going back to the homosexuality of the homophobia from his father,
right,
this being an issue. Now they introduced somebody else who said that he was actually in a relationship
with him.
That was a male.
So I haven't touched on that yet. You're good. You're good. I haven't touched on that yet because I'm not going to say I believe it.
That's what I mean, though. You know, it's like part of the whole twists and turns and like reasons why I have a hard time keeping up with it and like
believing any of it.
Yeah. It's like, where did this come from? You're just saying that this is a thing.
Now, I definitely think that he might have experimented.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he was gay and he was trying to hide it. And that's what Odin found out and the reason he murdered him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe the guy in the documentary that said he was in a year-long relationship with
him. It didn't seem real. It seemed very...
It was literally like...
It seemed like it was more for him than anything else.
And that guy also said that he was the quarterback at the same time as Aaron was the tight end, and he wasn't. He was like third string. So he wasn't playing at all with him. So if they were playing together, it was probably like when they were kids, not in high school. But like in the documentary, many times he's like, yeah, you know, we had everything going for us, you know, star tight end, quarterback. And I'm like, you were on the bench, guy.
You were the star bench warmer.
You know, and like no shade, but like shade.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, yeah, we played football all the time. We were best friends. We had a whole relationship in junior year. And I'm like, he preceded that with my dad was homophobic and his dad was homophobic. Right. Where were you doing that?
Because it wasn't happening at either of y'all houses.
Like, if Aaron Hernandez, which I just feel like he is probably living every day in fear at his house.
Probably.
I don't think that he's just going to be, like, actively
inviting his friend over and trying to, like, hook up with him.
Facilitate a relationship with him. Now, who knows? We'll probably never actually know. But I find it hard to believe. Yeah. He came so left field with that. And then that set up this whole precedence where they brought in there was a Patriots player who is gay as well, and they brought him in just to talk about being gay in football yeah. general, like from being a kid to like gotcha. Being in the NFL. And I was like, we don't even know if Aaron Hernandez was gay,
right? Why are we doing all of this,
you know? And yeah. I'm like, you're literally throwing in information after the man is dead
and he can't defend
and he can't
himself
confirm nor deny and we don't have really any real evidence,
right?
Like, if there was somebody who was in a relationship with him before he died, maybe. Maybe I'd believe that.
But.
And maybe if his cousin Tanya came out and said, yes, this is true, I would believe her because I think she's the only one who knows what was really going on with him.
Really?
I think she knows. I think she knows who that he murdered those people. Mm. Because when they called her to testify, she did not.
Ooh.
Yeah.
At all.
So they held her in contempt of court. She wouldn't testify. Even though they called her to the stand, she said she wouldn't.
Wow.
So she stayed
completely silent.
Completely silent and completely loyal. And that's cool. But I'm like, that just makes him seem super guilty. Because right. I know you know. And two, I think she would also know about, you know, if he were gay, I think he would have confided in her about
true.
It.
True. I can see that for
sure. Because he saw her as more of a mother than his actual mother.
Yeah. And he said that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just, all in all, I just think that, you know, after watching this, I'm just kind of over the documentaries that highlight the murderer and, you know, their lives and their upbringings and, you know, what brought them to this. It's like, I would much rather have had this documentary be completely all about his victims, where they were in their lives and like what they had going up in their lives and then the leading up to Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, but you know that people don't like that stuff. That's why they have all of these.
I know that's why.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a money thing, but yeah. Like, why are, like, it just, I don't know. It just makes me feel so weird. It's like, do we really need to know the history, life, and background of Aaron Hernandez? And granted, I did sit there and I watched the whole thing and I can tell you guys about it. But it just kind of makes me feel a way because,
yeah.
You know, like, he was already famous, making millions and had a lot going for him.
And I think that's why it was such a big thing, is because he was.
And
he was so big and well-known and making good money. And then all of a sudden this happened. And so, you know.
But I feel like that is also a part, like, or the reason why I can't stand it. He had all of these things going for him. He already had the spotlight. He already had the money. He had a family. He had a baby. Everything going for him. And mm-hmm. then he took three people's lives. And, you know, the media around the trial, the documentary after the fact, it's almost like the people who were murdered don't matter.
Yeah, you know what? That's very true. Because they had people out there who they interviewed on the streets. Like, you know, well, I don't believe it. I'm going to wear his jersey every yeah. day, you know, because he didn't do it.
Yeah.
And I believe that
he
didn't do it.
I believe in my heart he didn't do it, so I'm going to still rock with him. I'm not changing sides. I'm like, they've
okay,
got
but
so
there are,
much evidence.
And there are three people now who are dead because of him.
People lost their lives. And, like, to me, I think that that's the part that really gets to me. It's just kind of like when a celebrity does something wrong, we focus on that because we know them. But it's like they matter, too. Mm-hmm. And let's just, like, take the celebrity out of it on a base level. We're all humans and we're giving the person who did the wrongdoing
all
more attention
this,
and
yeah.
more glory and more everything than the person who was trying to live their life doing nothing wrong and was murdered.
Right.
And that's, like, my biggest qualm with it all, really. That goes for the Ted Bundy documentary.
That goes for Joe.
And that also goes for Joe. Y'all need to stop that. That is not cute.
You, Joe, bye.
But now that we've roasted, you know, Aaron Hernandez, and I've really
you did that. I didn't really get to.
I'm sorry. I just was really passionate. I'm so
it's
sorry,
okay.
Jasmine.
It was all you, girl.
I mean, if you want to get a couple more in there,
no.
I can take
five
a breath.
Minutes. let's do a quick Seattle happenings. What do we have coming up? Let's see. I don't really know off the top of my head, honestly.
January 31st, DJ Blast will be having a party called Trap Caviar. And you guys can find him on Instagram, and I'm sure the ticket links are in his bio. You guys should definitely check that out. He always plays good music. His parties are always dope. So if you're trying to, you know, shake that tail feather, you should drop, you know, check that out.
Yeah, music's always great there. And it's a great event if you're looking for African-American people to party with. Because mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people sometimes have a hard time finding areas and spaces with people of color.
Mm-hmm. What else is coming up? Oh, the Grammys are January 26th. And, you know, I know it's not a Seattle happening, but I've already said that if Lizzo or Ariana Grande don't win Album of the Year, I'm already throwing a fit. And I saw something today that said it's going to be Lizzo and Billie Eilish.
You know, Billie Eilish did have a really big year, so I can understand that. No, you're not.
If Lizzo doesn't win, I'm going to be upset. I'm just saying.
Well, let's do a quick recap and say what's the way or not the way. I think our busy week was a little bit of maybe the way and not the way. It was like very productive. However, I lacked some sleep, you know, so that aspect, not the way. Being productive and networking, the way.
Definitely say not the way as well. Because I was sick and I would have loved to have gotten a little bit more sleep. And after watching the freaking documentary, I didn't even sleep. So I was like, wow, that's great. That's awesome.
Categories, our icebreaker and fun facts. That was fun today.
Hashtag the way.
All the way. That was a fun one. Thank you for humoring me on that. let's see. I review the show. Teza talks at Barboza. The way. All the way.
Definitely.
Teza is amazing.
Thank you for inviting us. For having us. And it was nice to see all of our friends that we met at the gala and just people that we know. That was a great time.
Yes. And I can't wait to see, like I said, the next show. It'll definitely probably be the way. I don't see anything coming from you that's not the way.
Yeah, I think that you started off very strong. You can't really, I think you're going to just like go up from there. So.
And last but not least, our hot topic, Aaron Hernandez.
I feel like this is the first time we've had a hot topic where we've been like
negative about it.
Not the way.
It is an informative documentary. Again, watch it and see what you take from it. See how what you think about it and everything, you know, like don't let us sway you. But we're going to say that it's not the way. And again, all of you out there talking about how handsome he is and glorifying that, it's sick. Stop. It's not the way.
Yeah.
Have some respect for yourself.
Yeah. not the way. I'm over it.
Anyways.
But also, let's take mental health and like,
true. Let's take a moment.
The physical effects of football or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I just think that there are some things you can glean from it, and I think that we need to do better as a society because we kind of set him up to fail
in many ways. There's a lot of signs. There's a lot of opportunities, and they missed them all.
Yeah. So. Definitely.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in this week. We will catch you guys next week.
As always, thank you so much for tuning into The Way. Catch you next week. Same time, same place.
Follow us on Instagram at The Way Jazz and Tay and on Twitter at The Way JT.
Don't be afraid to DM us if you have any questions or suggestions about the show. Until next time, bye.
Peace.